next and last stop is
Atlantic Avenue, Barclays Center.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan. It's a lot of Nets podcast.
I mean, the only Net fans you know? The only what? The only Nets fans you know?
At least they've got some self-aware.
I mean, come on, man. Or are these guys?
Welcome back to the Only Net Fans You Know podcast. I'm Peter. As always, I'm joined by my friend and fellow Nets confidant, Charlie. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
I needed to stretch 30 minutes before doing this, but I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready to go. It's been a while. What's up?
Today's working title is Bridges Year. Charlie's back. You haven't been on in a while, so I kind of want to get your thoughts and everything, what you thought about the Nets moves or non-moves, and where's your headspace at?
I'm happy they're not taking on Tyler Hero. I know we've shit on Ben Simmons in the past, but I really think Ben Simmons, all the signs that we know say Ben Simmons is better. But who the fuck knows? I've been hearing that for how many years now? But I'm hopeful. I really think I kind of really want to see what he could do with this team. Nets didn't have a point guard really last year. They had Spencer Dinwiddie kind of controlling the offense. So I'm kind of excited to see what the Nets are going to do with an actual point guard. I like the additions of Dennis Smith Jr. What are your thoughts on the I know you probably discussed it ad nauseum already, but what are your what's your opinion on getting like Dennis Smith and Baisley? And I wouldn't say big splashes. I would say guys to fill the space, in my opinion. I also want to add, I don't like losing Joe Harris. I know it wasn't, like you said, it was necessary to really kind of clear some cap. But I do love Joe. I'm going to miss him. That's a guy who played hard for us and definitely gonna sucks not seeing him suit up for Brooklyn anymore. So let's see what he does in Detroit. I hope you wish him well. I know as soon as the Nets play Detroit, he's gonna hit a game winning shot. And he's probably, if Detroit somehow ever makes the playoffs with another team, he's probably gonna hit every shot as well. So you know, that's just how it works to be a Nets fan.
I'm very disappointed. This team is not going to play to win. This is a year that's sort of like a bridge year. This team is pretty much just going to try to get under the tax. Sean Marks is trying to get under the tax and save a little money here and maybe go for a start in 1 or 2 years. I'm not happy. It's going to be especially hard as a fan knowing that there are guys that we could have gotten, but there's not much that we could do right now. They're going to try to give more opportunity to guys like Bridges, CJ, Claxton, and see where it goes and kind of evaluate the roster. So it's, all jokes aside, it's kind of a bridge year.
Yeah, man, bridge year. But I think this, I kind of have a little bit of a feeling we might make some noise. I'm feeling a little hopeful. You know, guys are going to be coming into their own this year. Bridges is kind of approaching his prime. Cam is approaching his prime. We don't know what Cam Thomas is anymore. We saw a lot of good flashes of skill and precision of scoring from him, but is he ready to take that next step defensively? That's a big question right there. It's up to Jacques Vaughn to kind of put it together, and that's another big question mark in its own, right? He doesn't have superstars to really rely on anymore. The players did respond to him. It showed. As soon as Steve Nash was fired, you know, the team did respond a little bit. They went on a nice little run before Durant got hurt. I don't know if you remember that. They had a little nice I don't remember how many games they won, but they were like number two right before Durant got hurt in the conference? I don't even remember, man.
They were like first in offense, I think, second in defense, maybe first in like points allowed. Man, it was something like that, but you weren't wrong. This team looked like they were on a championship type of run. But we, you know, I don't want to talk about KD and Kyrie all over again. What do you think was the best move if you had a kind of favorite move in the offseason? It could have been re-signing somebody. It could have been cutting somebody. Could have been the draft. What was your favorite move?
Wow, man, that's a great question. I have to say I'm gonna go basic Nets fan answer here and probably go re-signing Cam Johnson. Going into the offseason, I think Marks made it clear. The Nets organization made it clear. Mikal Bridges made it clear they wanted this guy back. We talked about it. I think they overpaid for him a bit. But, you know, that's the price you pay for young talent in the NBA. And sometimes, you know, not having any assets going forward, sometimes you got to gamble. And then they made the moves to try to clear some roster space. And cap space. I think that's my pick. What about you?
I'm going to say the Dennis Smith Jr. move. I love the defense. He was rated one of the top defenders on the perimeter last year. He creates very well. It's just a very good pickup. I don't like that he was, quote unquote, Sean Marks' priority in the offseason, but it kind of does give some security in the point guard position if Ben Simmons can't play point and if Dinwiddie's going to get traded. It's kind of short deal. We know what we're going to get. Young, athletic guy. And that's it. I can't be too mad at this stuff. Overall, I would kind of give the offseason maybe a C- or D grade. What do you think?
I'm going to give it a B-.
Really? Wow, I'm surprised. Yeah. I'm shocked.
I really like their draft.
Who in particular?
You're gonna think I'm crazy, but I really like Wilson.
Oh, of course. Yeah, he was great in the summer league.
I know it's like a hard thing to like gauge because it's summer league, right? But dude, he showed a lot of consistency, poise, and I love Marks in the second round, man. I love Marks in the second round. I'm sorry. I love what he pulls. I love the shit he pulls. I love when he gets in his draft modes. I love his late first round, early second round draft picks. He's been pretty good. I think I give Marks a B+ for the draft, and that kind of brings the overall offseason grade up a little bit. Who's hurt? Whitehead is hurt, right? Whitehead's gonna be start to hurt.
Yeah, he's gonna be back. I think training camp he should be back.
But I mean, he was projected to be top 10. No.
Yeah, coming out of high school, he was very highly rated, gets hurt, and a lot of people are high on him, and it's very understandable because it looks like his upside could be, you know, a high-end starter if everything hits perfectly for him. I'm going to move on right now. I'm going to give you a couple questions. I'll answer them, of course. Also, who's most likely to have a breakout year / maybe the biggest surprise on the team?
Cam Thomas. I think he's ready. I think it's time for him to go. I think he shows he can score. I think I like that he's working hard in the offseason. And, I mean, again, it's all offseason bullshit and videos and Instagram. But I think he's ready to take that step. I think he's going to have a big year. I think he's going to average close to 20 a game, be a six-man. I feel like Dinwiddie's going to get traded at some point. I don't know when, I don't know how, and I don't know why. But I just feel like Dinwiddie's going to start the season as the six-man role, and then he's going to be gone sometime during the season, and Cam Thomas is going to step up and be that guy. I could see him averaging like 18 points a game this year. And I have to set my expectations kind of pretty average of what I think is going to happen this year, and I feel like I got a good hunch. I feel like Cam is going to step up.
I'm going to go with Clax. We saw the defense last year. He was great. He was tremendous. I'm very, very interested to see him in an expanded role on the offense. I went on a basketball index, B-ball index, yesterday, or maybe it was 2 days ago, whatever. And they kind of gave him some overall grades on his offense compared to the rest of the league. I was very surprised. He rated A+ in transition, in handoffs, as the pick-and-roll role man. Very, very elite numbers, very high percentage they gave him. And look at his stuff from the G League, right? He played 7 games in the G League after getting drafted. He shot 50% from 3. He was getting handoffs, driving to the hoop. And a lot of people forget he was a guard, I think, in high school. So he had handles. He still has handles. Now, does he have a point guard handle right now? No. But I feel comfortable with him getting a bigger role in the offense. not just setting screens, not just catching lobs. And listen, if he could develop just a mid-range shot, this offense could really, really wake up and it could really, really do well. We're kind of missing that one scorer. I don't know if it's going to be Klax, but if he could open up his game just a little bit, things could be a lot more interesting than how they currently look.
I think he has been working on his mid-range. I mean, he's got to be pretty cognizant that's an area of weakness. You see him improve in his free throws. You know, he worked on that little hitch shot he's got, and that, you know, he wasn't great, but you can tell he's working to make improvements, and I appreciate that about him. And, you know, again, back to you made a great point about the handoffs and doing the little things like that. You don't see that in the stat sheet, you know, until you brought it up. No one really sees that. You see, you know, every Nets fan sees blocks and steals when they see Claxton. They'll see double-digit rebounds every other game. You know, there'll be games he'll get 6 rebounds, you know, and there'll be games he'll get 12 or 13 rebounds. But I never see his rebound routing consistent. I'd like to see a step up. If he's going to step up this year, I'd like to see his rebounds be more of a double-double figure than anything. He's working on his mid-range, man. So I don't know how efficient mid-range shots are going forward. I don't know if you want your center kind of laying back there. I don't know how it's going to work in the offense. Just because he's working on it doesn't mean they're going to involve, you know, incorporate that. I feel like there are other options. I feel like he has to get, you know, a little more, what's the word, dangerous on the inside game before we can really expand that. You know, as a center, I don't want to say ground and pound all the time or get grit and grind, but he's got to develop more of a, I would say, an inside game. Like, you know, create your own shot on the inside game. It just, unfortunately, like, he plays in a division with Embiid and then Okumpo, Adebayo, guys who are just stronger than him. You know, if he physically can get stronger, I think the sky's the limit for him.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Some quick podcast news. I've joined Fireside Nets as an official co-host with Spen Harris. Mondays we do a show live streaming at Fireside Nets. Tuesday the episode drops everywhere, including the video on YouTube. We had an episode interviewing Aaron Williams a couple weeks ago. Check it out at Fireside Nets on Twitter, on YouTube.
We now join our regularly scheduled program already in progress.
Who do you think is going to be the biggest letdown or disappointment this year?
Clowney might be the biggest disappointment already just because he was the first round pick and it looks like he's going to get no NBA time, which is very disturbing and very sad. That I think if we look at his numbers, I think he shot like 20% from the field. He missed so many threes. The last game of the summer league, he played only 7 minutes. I think he made one shot or might have even missed all of his shots. He looked like a young man coming out of high school that's going to need some time to develop. That alone could be a disappointment. But if I had to pick a player, which one is going to be the biggest disappointment? It's kind of hard because I don't want to look down on anybody. But, man, I would say maybe Beasley. I don't think he's going to provide anything. I'm going to be shocked if he's there at the end of the year. I would love to be wrong, but I just don't see him doing it for us. I really don't.
Those are pretty astute opinions, but I'm going to go with the easy and most obvious one, which is Ben Simmons. Do I need to say any more or no? That's it. Do I have to explain?
No. I think you nailed that. You nailed it pretty well. I think everybody knows like what's up with that. All right.
No, we should go. We should just have a whole episode. We should have whole episodes on the fact. I wonder. No one's ever done that before.
All right. Who's most likely to be traded at the deadline?
I mean, the obvious answer and easiest answer is Spencer Dinwiddie. But I'm going to go with a really, really, really crazy, 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 crazy one here. I'm going to go Mikal Bridges.
You're a fucking lunatic.
Ooh. Maybe the Miami Heat deal doesn't get done. You know, Dame Lillard finds another team. He finds home. Maybe that other team tries to get Mikal Bridges. Maybe just throws a shit ton of draft picks at the Nets or whatever. Maybe they, you know, maybe it could be Boston. I don't know. Someone. But I'm just saying, I just have a feeling, man. I don't think I don't know. I think the Nets make a big splash. I mean, Marks isn't a trade deadline guy, but, you know, worst case scenario, the Nets suck. Who knows? The Nets don't play well. You know, they may not have a future. I don't know, man. It's just me being crazy, but
that's fair.
Something gut feeling.
That's fair. He has 3 years left, actually, going over the contract. He's going to make 21.7 this year. Next year, 23.3. And in 25-26, he's going to make 24.9. His contract was actually rated, I think, the second or third best contract in the NBA in terms of value and, you know, youth, potential, ceiling. So I got to disagree with you there.
But I think the value is because of the time of play more than anything. He actually shows up on the court. That in itself retains its value, right?
Of course. Man, you kind of shocked me with that.
Sorry. You know, you know, I haven't been on air in how many months? Gotta throw a fork in it.
But I can't see that happening. I really can't.
You know, who knows? We'll see. Going forward into the down the list of who we think is going to do what this year, I think we got to go talk about the sixth man. Who do you think is going to be sixth man for the Nets this year?
I'm going to go with Cam Thomas. I think the offense is going to struggle, and it's just the easy answer. With an opportunity, he could score. We know that, and I think the Nets are going to need a lot of buckets from him. I really don't know if his attitude is going to hold him back, because I feel like it's almost confirmed that Jock Vaughn and Cam Thomas do not get along. There's some animosity there. When the team needed offense, they left one of their best weapons on the bench, almost like spiting themselves. So I don't know what's going on over there, but there's definitely an issue. But if I had to take a guess, it would have to be him.
Well, basically took my answer. I was going to say Cam, but for argument's sake, I'm going to say Spencer.
Interesting. And since you said that, I think it's the perfect segue. Who is your starting five?
All right. Ben, starting point guard. Healthy Ben. Then I go Dennis Smith Jr. Or go to the saucy option. It was your Cam Thomas shot. You know, give him a shot at the starting lineup. But I don't think there's enough buckets in there to give him a shot there. But that's why I think Dennis Smith Jr. is going to be a little more adept at giving the ball up. Then at small forward, or whatever position in basketball you want to call now, because it's positionless, Cam, power forward, Mikal Bridges, and center is Claxton. And that's my starting five.
Dennis Smith Jr. hits like 20% of his threes. So you'd have three non-shooters. Lonnie Walker hits threes and plays very good defense. Maybe you want to do that.
I was going to still go with Dennis Smith, but...
So you're going to have three non-shooters?
Yeah.
Why? I think you're just an agent of chaos.
Maybe.
I can't tell if you're... I really can't tell if you're trolling me. I think you're trolling me.
I might be trolling you, but also, I kind of just want to see... I want to see an all defense.
Listen, that's certainly unique. This is what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Bennett, point guard. Spencer Dinwiddie fits actually pretty well at shooting guard next to Ben. I was looking at his numbers in Dallas as the secondary ball handler, as someone who played off the ball, someone who was very, very good, one of the top guys shooting from the corner. He hit 71% of his right corner threes. He doesn't have the defense, but you know what? Ben does. So at the guards, I'm going to have them two. I'm going to have Bridges at small forward, CJ at four, even though I don't love that. But I kind of think this team needs the offense. I kind of think this team needs to give CJ some opportunity. He needs some time to grow. He needs some room to grow. So he's going to start at the four. And Clax, obviously, is going to stay in the middle. And, man, it's a rough roster. It's definitely a rough roster. I could see Lonnie Walker slipping in there, get a great playoffs. We saw him go off for a couple games. I would not be shocked if you saw Lonnie Walker come in at shooting guard for either Ben or Spence. I really would not be surprised at all.
Me neither. Nothing surprises me anymore with the Nets. You know, we had a lot of turmoil the last couple of months. So, well, I think I like Lonnie Walker, but I'm sorry, Pete. I don't think he's the answer.
That's fine. I trust me. I get it.
I think the answer lies with Cam Thomas. I think everything, I wouldn't say hinges on him being a player, but you were talking about, you need a third scorer, and he's the only one really that I think has the skill right now that can, I wouldn't say be an automatic bucket, but if you're looking for an offensive lineup, he's got to be the guy on the floor. No question.
I think that's fair. We looked at the roster a little bit. We didn't go too in-depth. We're going to save that for one of the next coming episodes. But all these gambling sites gave a over-under for the Nets. The over-under that they gave, let me look at it, was 37.5 wins. What do you think?
I'm going to say over, but only slightly. I'm going to say Nets have a 39-win season.
Do they make the playoffs or play-in?
Yeah, they do. They make the play-in.
Interesting. I'm going to go with under. I think we're one Claxton injury away from being a lottery team. We do not own our first-round pick this year. So this really has the makings of a disaster season. And I hate talking about injuries. I have to knock on wood. But that's really just how I feel. I'm really pessimistic about this roster. But listen. There's still time. Maybe we add somebody else. Maybe we don't. Probably not. Mikal Bridges was on Paul George's podcast. He said the roster was pretty much set, and I believe him. What do you think? You think we're gonna add?
I don't see any major shakeups happening, at least until midseason, if anything. And again, I'm very doubtful that anything's gonna happen there. But maybe we'll see. Who knows? Crazy league.
All right, let's go to the wrap up.
I have a really serious question to ask you, Pete. Given that the U.S. government basically acknowledged that the aliens exist, if we were to be, if we were to be living among aliens, right, that were just roaming around freely, it could be anyone. It could be shapeshifters. Knowing that information, Pete, which current or former Nets players are most likely to be an alien?
I might have to say, just because he's like a genius and whatnot, he could build a computer from scratch. I'm going to go with Jared Allen, just because he's just so smart and he can make some fucking alien technology shit. I really don't know.
You can't think outside the box on that one, Pete?
Okay, give me something.
I got a few in mind, but you want to hear just right off the bat, Kenyon Martin.
Why Kenyon Martin? That makes no sense.
The guy is an animal. The guy is a monster.
Who else?
Kevin Garnett.
Did you just get like beast type of dudes and you think you associate that with aliens?
He's a monster. Did you hear what he said about Carmelo Anthony's wife? That was so uncalled for. That's an alien move right there.
That's wild. Man, if I
he talks mad shit. Alien. If I was an alien, I'd talk mad shit too. Andrei Kirilenko. Oh, I got one. All right, you're gonna call me crazy for this one. But Joe Johnson.
Why?
Because no one could be that smooth and be that clutch without any otherworldly power.
Man, who got it? I'm trying to think of maybe a New Jersey Net that I could think of. This kind of, see, I feel like fucked up saying guys that have passed, but what about Steve Bradley?
Yeah, I mean, I was just about to say Sean Bradley.
Yeah, Sean Bradley, yep.
I was just about to say Sean Bradley. I don't know, man. Now you got me going down a rabbit hole of which Net can actually be an alien.
Okay, everybody. You could check out more episodes by going to at NetFansYouKnow on Twitter, on YouTube, at The Only NetFansYouKnow on Instagram. You can catch my Monday live show with Spen Harris at Fireside Nets. If you're listening to this during your lunch, have a great lunch. Have a great night. Have a great weekend. Whatever the hell you're doing, I'm happy Charlie's back. And let's go. We're out.
Mikhail Prokhorov's definitely an alien.